Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Arthur Porter from Moody, Alabama. Good morning, Pastor Porter.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm great. Good to be with you.
It's so nice to have you with us. Now, you are retired, as if pastors ever really get to retire, but tell us about your service as a pastor and what you're up to these days.
Well, the first of the year, I retired, and I had always wanted to have a radio show. Some of my students always said to me that I should have a bigger megaphone. And so about 3 months ago, a local radio show in Birmingham, in Huntsville, Alabama, allowed me to have a 30-minute show. I call it Word Wise. So we become wise in the Word of God because I'm a teacher at heart. And my themes are about how do we live out a bold Christian life in a hostile culture. This culture has been encroaching upon the church, and we have to fend it off. We have to speak up for Jesus Christ.
Well, very good. So, see, I told you, pastors never really retire. They still stay busy afterwards. We are studying 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Any background, any context you want us to understand before we dig into this text this morning?
Yes. Paul is the great teacher and the great advocate for the true Word of God. He lived in a day not dissimilar to our day, where there are all kinds of teachings out there. And what he's pointing out here is that we don't come recommended by man. We come recommended by Jesus Christ, how we live in him. In his day, the false teachers were carrying letters of recommendation saying that he's a great guy, when indeed he was just a great orator, and he was twisting God's word as he saw fit. So Paul laid the message down that the real letter that you carry with you is your life. And he was telling the people of Corinth that how you live, that's the living letter of who Jesus Christ is and not what some other man recommends.
We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. If you have questions today, you can give us a call. We'd be happy to take questions. We're studying with Pastor Arthur Porter from Moody, Alabama. You can give us a call at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org, as we're digging into 2 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. I'll start with verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. What is this he's speaking of about commending ourselves? Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Pastor, what is he talking about when he says commend here?
Well, as I said, false teachers were carrying actual letters of recommendation saying that this man is legitimate, that what he says is true. Well, Paul knows that that may not be the case because he used to carry letters of recommendation when he was out persecuting Christians. He didn't find out what the truth was until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. So everyone who has a letter, a written letter, a good teacher, knows that the authenticity of a Christian is not in a letter penned by human hands, but by a conversion that is the result of God implanting his spirit in a willing heart. That exactly is what had happened to Paul. So they are talking to someone who has experience in these spurious letters.
You yourselves are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts to be known and read by all.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The only recommendation that the Christian need is the change in the character of the person. Repentance means to turn around. When they have met Jesus and they repent of their ways and adopt his ways, that is the recommendation that we need. That's the change that comes. The scripture, the Holy Spirit, these are change agents. They change us. We are new creatures, as Paul would say at some other place to the people of Corinth. The old has died and the new has come to life.
Mm-hmm.
John says that we must be born again. We've had a physical birth, but in order to be of Christ, we must have a spiritual rebirth. We must be born again. And that shows a change in character.
And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts.
Right.
How can something be written on human hearts?
Well, you know, the heart is the seat of our emotions. It is the things that come out of our mouths emanate from something deep within us, who we have become in our hearts, our faith, what we believe, who we believe. That is what bespeaks of what's in of us. A good teacher doesn't write his message in ink that will fade and pass away. He writes it up on the hearts of men. It is deeply seated in them. Jesus had written his message on the hearts of the Corinthian people through his servant Paul, and not with disappearing ink, but with the Spirit, not on tablets of stone, but on the hearts of men. That's what Paul is getting to. That's where the change comes in our hearts. When believers are baptized into the body of Christ, they receive the grace of God's salvation, and they must share this good news with the lost, who may not know that Christ has already died for them. We are the purveyors of the good news. And this news is so good that once we have it in us, we really know that's not classified information. That's information to be shared with any and all who will hear. Those are saving words.
We're studying the Daily New Testament, reading 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 18 with Pastor Arthur Porter from Moody, Alabama. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org, as we're digging into 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Anything else about those first three verses, Pastor, that you'd like to comment on before we go on to the next paragraph?
Yes, yes. Everyone who professes to be in Christ, he says, is an open letter. An open letter is to everybody. And every Christian, whether he likes it or not, is an advertisement for Christianity. The worst enemy that the Christian faith has is one to claim that he's a Christian and doesn't live like one.
Verse 4. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Yes.
The confidence we have through Christ toward God, what is this confidence that we have?
The confidence that we have is that we know what God has promised, and God has never broken a promise. He asked us to trust him turn to him and trust him, and he'll never leave us. So we have the confident hope that everything that God has promised will come to pass, even if it seems delayed, deferred, even if we don't understand it, because we trust in him who can't lie, who will not lie, who will never leave us. We still follow his teaching.
Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God.
Yes, everything we have comes from God. We are the nothing people. God is I am. And the only thing that humans can say about I am is add the word nothing. I am nothing. I am everything that I am because of what Christ has given to me. Paul says at another place, what is it that you have not received? So we were created from nothing, and he gives us everything that we have, every gift, every talent, everything that we have comes from him. And so that's what he means, that our competence comes from him. He left the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. He teaches us because we don't understand God's ways. We don't understand his thoughts. But the illumination that comes from the teacher, the counselor that he left for us, will tell us and teach us all things, as John 14 says, about Jesus, and will remind us everything that he has told us. So we have nothing in ourselves. We're not competent within ourselves. We are only exalted and lifted up by that workings of the Holy Spirit.
Our sufficiency is from God, who made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Right. We can't keep the letter of the law, but the Spirit of the law comes from within. What are we to be about? Some people think that their actions can be controlling, but our actions can be deceptive. What are we thinking? What is our motivation in our action? Everybody who gives to the poor, as an example, doesn't give with a loving heart. They give so they can have some spring cleaning and have a space in the closet. So, but it is the Spirit that saves. Trying to live by the letter is what will kill us. It is the gospel that is salvific and not the law.
Hmm. The Spirit gives life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And the law brings death because we cannot keep it. And if we miss one little tittle of it, we have not kept it. But thanks be to God.
Amen.
We don't have to. We have a mediator. Indeed, we have a Savior who has already paid that debt for us. He's already died for everyone who will come to faith. Jesus didn't say, well, I'm going to think about dying for these folk. It's finished. He's done that. Mm-hmm. There is objective salvation out there. All you need to do is believe it and make it yours.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 18, with Pastor Arthur Porter from Moody, Alabama. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Be glad to take some questions as we're studying the daily New Testament reading. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying our daily New Testament reading right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, Messenger of Good News.
Have you discovered Hidden Gems yet? Operated by Lutheran Senior Services, Hidden Gems is a resale store that features gently used items such as jewelry, home furnishings, clothing, and more. Proceeds benefit benevolent care for older adults who can no longer support themselves. Located in Crestwood Square at 9051 Watson Road, Hidden Gems accepts donations and welcomes shoppers from 9 to 4 Tuesdays through Saturdays. Follow us on Facebook or visit lssliving.org/hiddengems.
Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service has been there for me since I began the American leg of my journey as a refugee. Their staff helped me and my family to a local church in the community where I resettled, a church whose hospitality could not have been more important in my transition to a welcoming American society. Learn more about Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and journeys like mine, lirs.org.
Welcome back to His Time. We are studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Arthur Porter from Moody, Alabama. If you have questions, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 at verse 7. Now, if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. All right, Pastor. Now we get into some interesting language and talking about glory here. If the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, and that was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? What was the glory of the ministry of death? Well, first of all, what was the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone?
Well, what was carved in stone was the law at Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
And because we can't keep the law, it will lead us to death. The new covenant is one that is carved upon the hearts of men, prompted by the work of Jesus Christ. It brings life. It is the new covenant. Paul was defending his ministry of the new covenant here. And he compares the experience of Moses, who mediated the old covenant of Sinai. And he brings us to this new ministry where we are not bound by the confines of the law, that we have been brought across, a bridge across by the work, the suffering and dying and rising of Jesus Christ. A new covenant has given us life. Paul would say at another place that death has no sting. It can't hold us. He tells us that he who has died once can't die again. And so we are born to life in this new covenant that is offered to us by God himself.
The glory of that that ministry of death. It says, verse 7, now if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? What was this glory? The Israelites could not even look at Moses' face, right, when he came down Mount Sinai.
Right, because Moses had been in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a glow upon him that they could not look up on that. They were not worthy to do that. That's God's way of bringing us on from the old to the new at his own working. The point of comparison is the fading glory that was on Moses' face and the ever-increasing glory reflected in the faces of those who ministered the new the new covenant. Paul comes to bring the new covenant, bespeaking all that Jesus would have him to speak. This contrast in regard to glory serves to highlight the temporary and the inadequate character of the old covenant that was to be replaced by a permanent and effective character of the new covenant. It is the work of Jesus Christ that is new. We move from the old to the new. The old was a forerunner of the new, pointing to the new. And the new is in Jesus Christ. And when he come, when he came and did what his work and finished his work, the new had come. And the new had sprung us from death and gives us life.
The I lost my spot there. For if the glory was, if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. This ministry of Jesus is a ministry of righteousness.
Yes. Well, you know, the dichotomy is the old and the new, the old Adam and the new Adam. Unrighteousness to righteousness. And if anything could come out of the law that had some glory, how much more does the glory that comes out of the gospel, the gift of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, these are the lasting things. These are the things that are of heaven. We are the beneficiaries of the work of Christ. Nothing is greater than that. The only life-saving thing that we have, the bridge to salvation, from unrighteousness to righteousness, is what Jesus Christ brings. And there is such unspeakable glory in that, inestimable glory in what Christ gives to us. He is the new covenant.
So regarding the ministry of death, verse 10, indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it.
Right. Christ surpasses all. There was glory to some extent, but it was temporary and it was limited. You can't get to heaven from the law. You only get there from the gospel. Jesus is the bridge from law to gospel. He's the bridge from unrighteousness to righteousness. He is the bridge from death to life. And while the law has value, as Paul would say in Romans, the value is that it points us to the gospel. It accuses us, and we know we can't get that by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we turn to God through the workings of the Holy Spirit, and we become believers, and we become heirs to this unsurpassing glory that Jesus gives us.
Verse 11, for if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory.
Right. That which was insufficient, that which was temporary, that which was permanent, there was some glory in that, but not surpassing glory. Not salvific, life-saving glory. That only comes with the one mediator, the one Savior, the one door, the one gate, the one who knows the way home, Jesus Christ.
Permanent. It is forever. Permanent here. This word, another translation puts it, which remains continue to be glorious. It remains. It's permanent. It goes on.
Right. It is. In English, they would call that a gerund. It keeps acting. It keeps going on. It is always being. That's the way Jesus is. He is unending. Another way of speaking of eternity. It is unending. It's ongoing. It doesn't stop. God does not have limits. the omniscient and the omnipotent and ubiquitous God is not contained by anything, certainly not by human time.
Anything else up through verse 11 that you wanted to talk about?
Well, when we remember about the covenant, some of our understanding is that a covenant means an arrangement made between two people through which they enter into a certain relationship. But that's not in the biblical sense. In a biblical sense, it is God who is the prime mover. And it is God who approaches man to offer him a relationship upon conditions which man could neither initiate nor alter, but only accept or reject. The initiator in the biblical covenant is God. God doesn't negotiate with us. He didn't say, Abraham, will you go to that place over there? Go. Paul, will you serve the Gentiles? No, I'll send you. God is unilateral, and that is always for our good. God does everything. God, who is good, who is love, does everything good for us. And when he calls us, equips us, and sends us, it is to our good and to his glory.
Verse 12, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Yeah, Paul, it's not repetition, but it's a restatement of how we break down the old and the new. And the new is always Christ. The old is that pre-Christ, that Moses who pointed to Christ, but is inferior to what Christ does. We don't have a veil between us and Jesus Christ. We can look upon him. Calvary took care of that. The veil was split, and we can see God, and we can approach God. We are in this new day under this new covenant where all that we can have in Jesus Christ. For all has been done for those who will believe. When he says it is finished, it is that everything that he needs to do to reconnect us to this Jesus, to God that we lost at the fall, he's done all he is supposed to do. And he points out that now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We are free to be obedient to God. We are free to face him. We are free to be in his presence because Jesus has cleaned us up. And when God sees us, he sees us through this prism called Jesus Christ. And he sees the righteousness, the perfection, the cleanness of this Jesus Christ. And that's how he sees us. And this is the new covenant. This is the new day. This is the rebirth, the regeneration, the reborn Christian in him, not limited by a veil or any barrier between us and God.
Verse 12 says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold.
Yes. When we know the promises of Christ, when we've studied the scripture and we know what he has promised, and we know what he has done, there is no reason to not be bold about it. We know he's not going to defect. We know he's not going to abandon. He tells us clearly that if we acknowledge him before men, he will acknowledge us before his, for our God in heaven.
But their, verse 14, but their minds were hardened, for to this day when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. So
right.
there,
when you have not come to believe in Christ, then you start believing that some things are impossible. How can that be? When the Holy Spirit has not worked his faith in you, then you are thinking with a human mind, and you can't reason yourself to faith. You have to have faith worked in you by the teacher, the counselor, the helper, the Holy Spirit. And when you accept that, then you see the promises as they are. There is no veil between you and your understanding. This veil does not only veil our eyes, it veils our mind.
Verse 15, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts.
Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts because they are still in the Mosaic mode. The Holy Spirit has not worked in them the faith that they need to remove this veil. Christ has come, and he's done all that it takes for that veil to be removed. He sent the Holy Spirit to work that faith in us to accept that truth. And when we come to accept that truth, then we trust him. And that's why we are bold, and that's why we can see clearly now. We're no longer blind to what the gospel is. I mean, this is just, Paul here is bringing a new teaching to these very wayward people of Corinth. But this is a profound gospel, another way of saying, I was blind, but now I see. But all this comes from the work of the Holy Spirit, and the old has died, the old Mosaic teaching, to the new teaching of Christ.
When one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. As you said, when the Spirit creates faith, that veil is removed.
That veil is removed.
Let's go to the listener lines. We have a question about verse 17, which we're just about ready to get to. Let's go to Jan in Atlanta. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. I love this verse. I love this chapter. I'm from Detroit, and there's this statue by the city-county building called the Spirit of Detroit, and inscribed on that statue is verse 17. And I love this verse because it emphasizes the fact that the Holy Spirit is God and the active person of the Trinity, where Jesus promised when he went, returned to heaven, he would send us the Comforter. And so what do you think?
Is this about the Trinity? Is that the question?
Well, it's not a question. It's just an observation.
Pastor, your thoughts about verse 17.
Thanks. I think it's a great observation that we see, we know the general that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He's to teach us everything that Jesus taught. He's to remind us of everything. That he is the counselor, he is to advise us, but it also says that he is the helper. Some places we talk about Jesus will have to judge some things. He didn't come to judge, but he has judged some things. God is the judge, but the Holy Spirit is always the helper. He's always the paraclete. He's always there lifting you up and whispering in your ear and nudging you on. The Spirit of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, boy, they are matched up, and they are always in unison. John 16, Jesus says, and the Holy Spirit will come, and he will testify of me. They are one.
Thanks for your call, Jan. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. With just 1 minute left, Pastor, being transformed into the same image.
Yes. We are transformed. I.e., we are changed from what we were into what we are to become in Christ. To be transformed is revolutionary. I mean, something supernatural happens in us, and we become something that we have never been before. And that is by the power of the triune God. Jesus the Redeemer, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Helper, we become a new being. We are changed forever. We used to be a cucumber, but we have now become a pickle. And once you are a pickle, you'll never be a cucumber again. We have been transformed.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Arthur Porter from Moody, Alabama. Pastor Porter, thanks so much for helping us study the daily New Testament reading this morning in 2 Corinthians.
I thank you so much, and God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you. God's blessings to you and all the work that you're doing. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Missionary Monday with Pastor Pastor McMiller. Hope you can join us for that. Stick around for more of his time coming up in just a little bit on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.